Okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to have a question and answer time period. Last week I gave everyone these little blue slips of paper when they came in, and I asked them if they had a question pertaining to the rapture, just to write it down, and I would do my best to deal with those tonight. So we're going to do that. We're going to take these questions one by one, and I'm just going to read them off and then answer those, and I hope this is a help to you tonight. The first question is, will it be a silent rapture or will everyone see it? And the answer for that is that yes, it will be a silent rapture in the sense that I don't believe that the world is going to have time to see it. It won't be silent for us, for the body of Christ, because the Bible says that he's coming back with a shout. He's coming back with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. So it'll be anything but silent for the body of Christ. But for those who do not know Christ as their Savior, I don't believe that they're going to see it or be able to behold it. We're not going to wave goodbye, you know, as we're going up to heaven or anything like that. It's going to happen quick, so quick. How quick does the Bible say? It says it's in the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast the rapture is going to take place. Before you can blink an eye, it'll happen. As far as the world's concerned. So I hope that that answers that question. Here's another question. If we are caught up to be with the Lord forever prior to the tribulation, are we then enjoying that time until judgment day when we all stand before him for our deeds? And that's a great question, okay? Here's where you have to distinguish between our judgment, where we give an account for our life after we've been saved. We give an account for how we've, what kind of steward we've been after salvation. But that's called the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where we'll all stand, Paul said. 1 Corinthians 3 teaches that we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. On the other hand, the lost, those who don't know Christ, and saints from other ages, okay, there's going to be a judgment when Christ comes back down to the earth where he's going to judge the nations. And then there'll also be one called the Great White Throne Judgment. That's going to come. If you'll bring the timeline back up, I'll show you. The Great White Throne Judgment is going to happen at the end of these 1,000 years. So you got several judgments. We're caught up, and I believe right here in this first, as soon as we're caught up, we'll stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll look Christ in the eye and give an account for our life. And then we occupy that place in the heavens. But then he comes back. There's a judgment at his second coming. And then there'll also be the great white throne judgment, which, by the way, you can read about in Revelation chapter number 20, the great white throne judgment. So I hope that answers that one. Here's another one. I would like a better explanation of where we go before the rapture when we die. In other words, we die in here before the rapture happens. Where do we go? What happens? I know those dead in Christ will get an incorruptible body at the rapture. But where is our soul? Already with the Lord, without a body? And that's a good question too. And the answer to that one is, the Bible says that the moment that we die, absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. So if I die back in here, okay, 50 years before the rapture, my soul and spirit are up here in heaven with the Lord. Now, a soul and a spirit are shaped, as we look in the Bible, it seems that a soul and spirit has the same shape as a body, okay? Exactly what does it look like without the body? I don't know that, you know, but we know that a soul and spirit functions. A soul can talk, you know, a soul can pray a soul. So we know that our soul and spirit is what really animates our fleshly body anyway. So our soul and spirit is really who we are. And that's going to go up to heaven. And we will have full ability to function in heaven with our soul and our spirit. But then at the rapture, that's where our bodies will be resurrected, wherever they're at, whether they're in a grave or whether they've been cremated. The DNA can't be destroyed. That DNA is there. I don't care if it's been spread out over the ocean. The DNA is there. God knows what that DNA... Aren't you glad God knows your DNA? Amen? He knows you. It's unique. There's nobody else like it. He knows your DNA, and it'll be called forth from wherever it is, and your body will be transformed, and you will be given a glorious body, which will be with your soul and spirit then for eternity. All right, when is the Antichrist revealed, before or after the rapture? Another great question. I don't know that we can be emphatic about that, but most likely I would think that he is going to be revealed after the rapture, okay? Here's another question. Does the Bible teach that people can be saved after the rapture? In other words, will people have the ability to be saved in this seven-year period? And the answer is absolutely they will. In fact, the Bible teaches in Revelation 7, there'll be a great multitude from all nations that will be saved here in this tribulation time period, okay? The gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed to all nations. Remember what he said in Matthew 24? The good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed through all nations before he comes back here. Everyone will have an opportunity to hear and either receive or reject that gospel. What does the Bible say that the dead in Christ shall raise first, but we also teach that saved people go directly to heaven? Okay, I think I already answered that about the soul and the spirit do, but the body then goes up at the rapture. All right, this is a lot of writing here. It says, after the state of Israel in 1948, doesn't Scripture say that Israel will not be destroyed or displaced again? The answer is no. The Bible does not teach that. See, this is where you've got to understand and rightly divide. People think, well, Israel became a nation, and they can never, ever not be a nation again. Who says? The Bible does not say that. Here's what and this is where they take scriptures and they mix them up. The Bible says once he comes back here at the Revelation, he delivers Israel, okay, and they're put in their land here. Then once Christ puts them in the land, then they will never be removed again, okay? So in this time period, Israel, I told you last week, could become a nation, then not be a nation, then become a nation. I mean, it can go back and forth. We don't know, okay, how many times that could go back and forth before the rapture. But we do know when this happens, when Christ comes back here at the Revelation, he will give Israel their kingdom and their land, and they will never be removed again at that point, okay? Somebody brought up the thing, Iran's president made a statement about wiping Israel from the map. And does this indicate we're close to the rapture? Again, you don't take world events and try to figure out, well, the rapture is going to be real, real close now because this dictator said this statement. Well, the bottom line is most of the Arab states have desired Israel's destruction for the last 60 years, okay? And there's been inflammatory things said for the last 60 years. There's been wars. There's been battles. There were Arab states that immediately attacked Israel when they were pronounced a nation in 1948 and desired their destruction. That hatred and that animosity on both sides has been there for the past 60 years. So no, you can't assume anything just because somebody made a statement. It says here, if we as Christians meet Christ in the air and 7 years later Christ comes back down here to the earth, it says to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years for Israel. Do we as Christians stay in heaven or do we come back down here to the earth? And I think the answer to that is we will have, our bodies will not be limited by time and space. We'll have a glorified body. We would be able to go from heaven to earth, boom, just like that in an instant. I think that heaven definitely will be our headquarters. And the Bible teaches we will be over the heavenly host. We'll be over the angelic host. And we'll be giving them their orders and so forth. And we've discussed these things in the past. But no, as far as, by the way, are we still taping up there? Okay, good. I'm going to put all this online too. But anyway, I hope that answers that. Let's see. It says, why is Christ's kingdom only 1,000 years? When he returns, what happens after the 1,000 years? A great question. The Bible, read Revelation 21 and 22. The Bible teaches that after the 1,000 years, he's simply going to take this earth, and this earth will be changed, and the heavens will be changed, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the kingdom, this kingdom, will continue on out into eternity. It'll just simply be with a brand new renovated heaven and earth. Amen. Does the Holy Spirit leave the earth after the rapture? And is the death of a believer actually a rapture? No, the death of a believer, I wouldn't call that a rapture. The question, does the Holy Spirit leave the earth after the rapture? No, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave the earth after the rapture. Again, there'll still be believers on the earth. There'll be people that will be saved right after the rapture. There'll be, we know, at least 144,000 Jews that'll be sealed. So the Holy Spirit doesn't leave, but His restraining influence through the body of Christ will be gone. Okay? There's a great restraining influence the Holy Spirit... See, the Holy Spirit works through people. He works through individuals. And so you're going to have millions of Spirit-indwelt believers gone. Okay? So the Holy Spirit isn't going to be able to work and restrain evil through the body of Christ anymore after the rapture. And that's why the Antichrist will be able to bring his plan of evil to a pinnacle. Okay? Okay, here's a question. It says, the mark of the beast. No one can buy or sell without a chip in their wrist or forehead. Is that mark going to happen before the rapture or during the tribulation? Now, people, again, that's an assumption. People assume the mark of the beast is a computer chip. You're not told that in the Bible. You're assuming that, okay? So that's an assumption right there is what that is. And my answer for that is I don't believe that the Christian does not have to worry. If you are saved and indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, and if you're saved, you are, you do not have to worry about inadvertently taking the mark, okay? So if you go to SeaWorld or Disney World and they want to stamp your hand, don't freak out and think, what if I just took the mark, okay? You don't have to worry about that. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit, amen? And you are safe in Christ, so you don't have to worry about that, all right? All right, let's see. It says, the saints will be caught up in the air, then what? Will there be a judgment seat? And I think I already answered that. Yes. And it says, so we'll be taken up to the third heaven after the rapture? And the answer to that is yes. It said, please explain the days of Noah. Remember Matthew 24? Before this event, the revelation, he said, as it is in the days of Noah. That simply is a reference to the fact that in the days of Noah, the world was going on their merry way. They weren't expecting judgment. They thought Noah was a nut. They weren't looking for a flood. They weren't looking for judgment. They were apathetic towards the things of God. And so the judgment of God came on them very suddenly. And that's what he's saying when he says, as it was in the days of Noah, when this event comes and judgment finally happens to this earth, by and large, the earth will not be ready. They're not going to be prepared. They're going to be caught off guard, okay, just as in the days of Noah. This is a good question. Why do we need to know about the 7 years of tribulation since we won't be here? And that's a good question, all right? That is a good question, and I didn't throw that one out. And my answer to that is the reason why I think we need to know is because it's in the Bible. Okay? If God didn't want us to know, He wouldn't have put it in the Bible, and I think we need to know, especially in case people try to take events in the tribulation and they try to twist it and they try to take it out of context or they try to misapply it to today, I think that's why we need a working knowledge of all of God's Word. People sometimes maybe will think or say, oh, Pastor Dan, all he cares about is Paul's writings, and nothing could be further from the truth, okay? All you got to do is go on the web and see what I've taught over the last 5 years, okay? And what we're doing right now, we're going through the book of Psalms on Sunday morning. And we've been through Nehemiah last year. We went through Nahum last year. We went through Haggai last year. Since I've been pastor of the church, we've taught Exodus. We've taught 1 Samuel. We've taught 2 Samuel. We've taught 1 Kings. We've taught 2 Kings. We've taught many, many things out of Proverbs. We've taught many of the prophets. I've taught non-Paul epistles. I've taught since I've been here, James. I've taught 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, and I've taught the book of Revelation in its entirety. So, you know, I am not, that's not true. If somebody says, well, all you care about is Paul. No, I think, you know what? I think we need a working knowledge of all of God's Word. We need to be able to take all the pieces of the puzzle, and we need to be able to put them together and rightly divide those. And so, so that's very, very important. And somebody brought up this. They brought up the thing of that we couldn't be living on the edge of the rapture for the last 2,000 years when there was no nation of Israel. And there wasn't technology available for the mark of the beast until recently. And again, that's an assumption. You know, there were world kingdoms way before there was modern technology. And there were ways for them to track, and there were ways for them to do things. There were ways for them to put a mark, a permanent mark on somebody without modern technology. Again, it doesn't have to necessarily be a computer chip that does that. So that's an assumption. Another thing is this. No, Israel did not have to be a nation for the rapture to occur. Okay, again, that's an assumption. That's not in the Bible. Nowhere does the Bible say Israel has to be recognized as a nation by the other nations of the world in order for the rapture to occur. No, Israel doesn't have to be recognized as a nation by the other nations in order for God to do what he said he would do. And that is, he would deliver a remnant of believing Jews at the end of this time period. There will be a remnant of believers from the nation of Israel, or Jews, I should say. There'll be a remnant of Jewish people, okay, at the end of this time period that are believers that Christ is going to come back and deliver. They'll actually be scattered. Israel won't be a nation. They're going to be scattered, and they're going to have to be fleeing for their lives. And so Israel did not have to be a nation. And even if they did, let's just assume, even though I don't believe you can give me a chapter and verse to prove it, but let's say they did have to be a nation, okay? Could the rapture have occurred in 1947, all right? And let's say that happened. Let's say the rapture happened in 1947, and then 1 year later, what happened? What would have happened after the rapture? What would have happened? Israel would have become a nation, see, in 1948. So Israel could become a nation after the rapture. In other words, a lot of these events can all take place very quickly. God is able. God is going to do mighty things. And the events of the tribulation are going to happen very quickly after the rapture. That's why I've told you there doesn't have to be a temple built in order for the rapture to occur. So get that thinking out of your mind. Well, the rapture can't happen until there's a temple. Wrong. Okay, the temple can be built after the rapture occurs. It doesn't have to happen before the rapture. So that's why I keep going back to this thing of Paul was looking for the rapture. He was looking for this thing to happen at any moment. It's imminent. It's ready to take place. It was in Paul's day. It is today. At any moment, it could take place. Whereas this event, he said, you got to look for the signs. Once you know where you're at on the time schedule and you see these signs, then what? Then look up, see, which is different for us today. We're to be looking up at all times. There was one other question that came up, you know, on a couple different cards, so I forgot to deal with it. For nuclear weapons to be invented before Christ could come back. You know, when you look at the catastrophic events that happen in the tribulation, it mentions earthquakes and it mentions the sea and the waves and so forth. There's going to be supernatural destruction that will come from heaven by God Almighty that he will induce himself. Will he use nuclear weapons as a means? Maybe, maybe not. You know, God destroyed all of civilization except 8 people at one time, and he didn't need nuclear weapons to do it, okay? So God does have other ways of bringing judgment and to be able to accomplish his purposes. He's not, God is not limited by that, by whether or not mankind has invented something like that. So yes, it may be a part of the tribulation, may not, okay? We don't know. That's, again, an assumption. We do not know that. God doesn't have to have that, doesn't require that. Okay? All right, so I did want to deal with that because it was on a couple of different cards. All right, let's stand tonight.